half of the Defense Department's components are tracing the normal network activity of their personnel. The Pentagon's supposed to look at common user behavior to help it find cases where its employees might be doing things they wouldn't ordinarily, and that might lead to classified information leaks. It's part of a series of executive orders from the president's office that require agencies to set up insider threat programs. Joe Kirschbaum is director of Defense Capabilities and Management Issues at the Government Accountability Office and looking at the Pentagon's progress on its insider threat program. Thank you very much for coming on the program today, Joe. I appreciate your time. What specifically did you look at vis-a-vis the insider threat situation at DOD, and what prompted you to want to look at it in the first place? Thanks for your time today.
Absolutely. Good afternoon, Francis. It's a pleasure to join you. We were directed by the House Armed Services Committee to look at the Department of Defense's insider threats programs really from two perspectives. The first was countering threats to the information systems. This is what we're talking about today. And the other, which is still ongoing, looking at more traditional threats to physical security, responses to the Fort Hood shootings and whatnot. The obvious impetus for this was some of the well-publicized breaches and from the Department of Defense's secure information systems over the last several years. And the House Armed Services really wanted us to get at where the department is in its insider threats program for cyber systems, and looking at how the department itself is assessing those threats and assessing its own progress, and also the extent to which the department is identifying those technical and policy changes it needs to make to continue progress.
You write in this work that the Pentagon components that you reviewed have begun implementing insider threat programs that incorporate the six minimum standards called for in Executive Order 13587 to protect classified information and systems, and you give some examples of some of the ways that they've done that. One of the examples you cite is training. What did you learn about the training that they're providing?
There's a pretty broad range of training, and this is actually something the department does fairly well. One of the things we wanted to look at in particular was these individual standards all have sub-elements to them, and then each one of those has elements in the department that they do outside of what we would normally consider the cyber insider threats. These are things that department does fairly well in terms of counterterrorism, counterintelligence. So it's a matter of capturing what the department's been doing, both directly related to its cyber insider threats and some of these other issues. So that's why we were getting a broad sense for what individual components are doing and not doing. And it was, you know, there was a little bit of an inconsistency. Some were doing very well and following through on the minimum standards and these other additional aspects of things that were directly related to insider threats, and others weren't following through as much on these. So that's one of the reasons we recommended that the department capture some of these additional standards that are existing in other DoD policies and indeed other executive branch and private sector policies that could help them capitalize on their progress.
Is there a way to ascertain whether the training that they're undergoing or any training regarding insider threats actually changes behavior? It's one thing for you to be able to say, yes, they're providing this training and yes, people are actually taking it. But if behavior isn't changed, I wonder if the training is worth pursuing.
Yes, and this is one of the reasons that it's vital that the organizations that the department has for monitoring systems, you know, that they can set up these technical systems to help monitoring, but they can join closely with the people that are going to be doing that to help them map out and assess what they're doing. So the department has numerous assessments that it conducts that look at insider threats issues, but it also looks at broader cybersecurity issues. And those are the things that we would like them to really double down on, to assess how they're doing, how each one of these measures is progressing, and then to be able to use the department's well-practiced risk management structures to assess how they're doing. And that will give them a much better sense for where those weaknesses are in training, in technical systems, and in some of the things that they need to be paying more closely attention to.
Did you have a specific recommendation about what that evaluation would look like, or is it just within the scope of your work to determine whether or not, in this case you're recommending that they do, provide such an evaluation?
really what we recommended in terms of the assessments were, you know, we recognize they have a number of assessments underway, and they cover from the National Insider Threats Task Force at the executive branch level all the way down through U.S. Cyber Command assessments. And they're done at the service component level. They're done at the broader DoD level. What we really want them to do in order to really to capture the essence of those is to apply some of those central risk management frameworks to these assessments. So they have a much better idea, and they can plug those into traditional risk management frameworks, you know, measures of threat, vulnerability, consequence. Plug in all of those assessments and find out where their weaknesses are, and that'll help them apply resources, both monetary and people, to better effect.
Joe Kirschbaum of the Government Accountability Office, looking at insider threat management and assessment at the Department of Defense. You write, DoD components have identified technical and policy changes to help protect classified information and systems from insider threats, but DoD isn't consistently collecting this information to support management and oversight responsibilities. Is it your sense that they're collecting it, they're just not putting it together in a way that's easily accessible for managers and overseers, or is it something that they haven't quite organized all the way yet?
Well, I think it's probably a little bit of both. One of the things we found was, although the minimum standards require a senior official be designated, and that has in fact been done for the Department of Defense, it's the Undersecretary of Defense for Intelligence, to go beyond that, to find someone who's at that program level responsible enough to obtain the necessary assessments, provide the necessary oversight throughout the department, and to collect some of these things. I mean, this is one of the things that the department, when it does it really well, which is collect lessons learned, learn those lessons, get those information out, make sure that individual components that are doing things right are sharing that information with their neighbors. That's the kind of thing we recommend the department do in terms of a program office.
Does it matter where that program office lives? I mean, obviously it would be in that intelligence office that you just designate, or I imagine it would be. Maybe it's not obvious that it should live there. Does it matter where it does live, though?
Well, that's an excellent point. I would say that is entirely up to the department, and we that's the kind of recommendation we would make, because it is up to them. They've got to determine what the right place is for this kind of office. I mean, obviously, it's got to be an office with enough let's call it bureaucratic oomph to keep everyone on task, and it's also got to have the ability to tap into all of these things that are done by individual components, bring them together, and ensure that they're shared throughout the department.